You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Hi, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion. We are on episode 4. I am Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. We're on episode 4 already?
Yeah.
Weird. We have a guest today.
Our first guest.
All right, so this is Ron Burt. We were in bands together. We lived together. We went wild and create mischief wherever we went together.
Hey, Jer Bear.
Yeah.
What band were you in together?
Well...
Let's start with the first one.
Well, that would be Uncle Scam. Mm-hmm. And you played drums. And boy, did you and your brother piss Justin off by playing Who songs in between practicing our songs. We changed the name to Tofu Love Glove, and then we changed the name to Man is a Bad Animal, and that was good times. And some asshole has that demo tape that we recorded in my mom's basement somewhere, but keeps losing it and not sending it to me every time that he finds it. And then we started Spirit of the Stairs together with our buddy Josh, who we worked with at the record store.
Yeah, that was the first time I remember seeing you and your brother was at that Taco Tico. Then shortly after that, you were dating one of my friends. Yep. Well, we've said Melissa's name like a shitload of times on here. I think we can go.
Well, and my brother was dating her best friend,
yes,
Chandra. Which I give Chandra a lot of credit for. I don't know, kind of coalescing our little punk scene back in those days.
The two of your two scenes.
Yeah.
That's probably
because she was a few years older accurate. Than us, and yeah. Mm-hmm. kind of knew everybody from like Howard's and stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
she didn't have the same hang-ups, and frankly, neither did Melissa about, you know, because for a while I didn't like you guys because I thought you were too political. look at me now, you know, you guys thought that you know, like Jake and me were just there to fuck around and just cause chaos, and we didn't give a shit about anything, which was accurate at that time. That was an accurate assessment. But yeah, Chandra kind of brought both of those worlds together. And the reason we were hanging out was because we now had a place to hang out. Like, first time mm-hmm. I remember hanging out with you and your brother was at Chandra's apartment, or like hanging out with you guys on the reg.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that was before, I think that was before 2721 even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, minor correction to that episode is I never actually lived at 2721.
Yeah, I realized that after we were done recording. I think I talked to you, and you were like, I never lived there. I was like, fuck. Hmm.
Well, I definitely did crash there at least once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that like 6 or 7 months between our apartment at McComas and Kansas Street, before we got that apartment, I was basically homeless. Like, mm-hmm. did plenty of couch surfing. I think more often than not, I did have a friend's couch to crash on.
Mm-hmm.
But I did spend a number of nights on the streets. Most of the time I was staying at Chandra's, and that was after my brother had broken up with her.
Mm-hmm.
After they had split up. So that was kind of awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she had a place on Kansas Street also.
Yeah. That's how I first discovered Kansas Street, was because she lived there.
Well, and that's how my brother and I ended up finding an apartment next door.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I got a question, because I don't really know much about before we started hanging out, were you into like political stuff, or were you
not much at all
and partying? Because I got introduced to the political side of punk rock through Justin mostly. I mean, obviously the music is political, but like as far as local politics go and shit like that, came mostly from Justin. Got me involved in like the activist side of punk rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think up until that point, the most political punk rock music I had listened to was probably NOFX, which, you know, they...
You were into the Dead Kennedys, too, and I'd say they're more
political. Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're pretty... They're pretty political. I was pretty definitely very disillusioned and very much counterculture before I even really knew what punk rock was.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm. Punk rock just kind of was a way to kind of give a name to a lot of those I think sort of intuitive anti-capitalist tendencies
that
I've had. One.
And also it was also very secular music scene.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And you know, I was in the eighth grade when I basically became an atheist and didn't even know that was weird until high school. And somebody got really angry at me when I was like, well, I don't believe in God. And they like, that was my first experience being like chided for not believing in God.
Well, and you guys both went to public schools, right? For your entire...
Yeah. Well, and I was kind of lucky. I was raised atheist. I was raised to respect other people's beliefs, but definitely taught from a very young age that religion was, you know, just...
Pretty bad and not real. I'm pretty sure one of your dad's quotes was, it's a bunch of hooey.
Bunch of hooey. Yup. and you know, like, had a lot of friction and some actual fights in, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, with evangelists, you know, these other kids trying to shove their religion down my throat and be, you know, and hilarious and so typical. Like, I would be the one that got in trouble for, you know, getting angry and trying to not be evangelicized.
part of freedom of religion is also freedom from it.
So. From, exactly. Right. Well, you know, that, and that's why I think I was so drawn to punk rock, you know, because not only was it very secular, if not outright anti-religious. It was also kind of just a safe space where
you were free
we could just be weird.
Yeah,
you know, I think one thing that we all have in common, even with our different backgrounds, is we were pretty relentlessly bullied all through school.
Brutally,
and the people that tormented us never stopped.
No,
if we tried to speak up for ourselves, we were shot down.
If we tried to fit in, we were mocked.
We were punished.
My middle school experience was trying to fit in and being mocked for it at every turn. So by the time I got to high school, I was like, fuck this. I don't want to fit in with these fucking people.
I was in Catholic school. So it was like mass. We went to mass 3 times a week in Catholic school. And then I also had to go on Sunday too. So I was at mass 4 times a week. For anyone who doesn't know, mass is Catholic for church. in case there's anyone out there who doesn't know Catholic terminology, I'm unfortunately cursed with knowing all kinds of Catholic shit now for the rest of my life.
Though, it's like 2 hours of weird ceremony.
No, my church was short. It was only an hour. So, yeah. Okay. But there is a lot of weirdness and a lot of people speaking, like a lot of, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Just like weird shit. And you're like, why? And you have to go through it's the same script. It's not like evangelical where they just get up there and just kind of talk out their ass. Mm-hmm. Like there's a script you have to follow and a nice fine pointy hat you have to wear if you're the top guy. And you have to get the bread and the booze out of the special little tabernacle so it's holier or something. And it's just, even when I was a kid, I remember thinking, like, and they would tell me stories from the Bible because we had mandatory religion class, and I remember thinking, well, that didn't happen. There's no fucking way that happened. Wait, she turned into a pillar of salt? Why salt? Is there a specific reason? Like, even at that point, I was like trying to Chekhov's gun this shit, and I was like, does that come back into play later? Like, does that come back into the story? Then why was it written that way if there's no point? Who's writing this shit? Did they have a script supervisor? Because it doesn't seem like they did.
Never forced to go to church by my parents, but my grandparents took us to, like, holiday mass. They were Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I would go because I loved my grandparents, but it was super uncomfortable, just really weird.
I find it interesting that the two different camps of punks, you guys were, at least in my mind, you guys were all political and you were all public school punks. And me and Jake and the other A guy, whose name I keep trying to not say but keep saying it, we were all in Catholic school, and we were just polar ends of the punks. But we thought that we were so, our understanding, and I think we even called ourselves anarchists. At least I did. I think the other two did too. But our understanding of anarchy was like a Sex Pistols understanding of anarchy, as in not at all. We freaked out the establishment. That's it.
Yeah.
Anarchy that is just chaos and not actual,
right?
The political,
we hadn't sat down and like read any political like theory about anarchism or anything. Like, it's not like we didn't know anything. We just knew.
You weren't reading Bakunin in high school?
Oh, we absolutely were, for sure, in Catholic high school. right to the top of the reading list.
Bakunin Kropotkin.
Honestly, even after, you know, it became more of a cohesive ideology and political worldview, I still very much embodied and appreciated just the weirdness and goofy chaos of just getting pissed drunk and fucking around. Like,
that was fun. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's plenty of that.
It was a lot of fun. I personally tried to be serious occasionally and do stuff. I mean, we played that benefit for Food Not Bombs, and I think we, you know, did some activism and stuff around town, but mostly it was partying.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about politics. We didn't do very many politics.
That is true. That is true.
But I do think, one of the things I did like about this scene, too, and I know this is more of a Kansas City story than a Wichita story, but when I was living at Central House, too, in Kansas City, I brought one of my friends with me over to the house, and he wasn't somebody I knew super well, more of like a friend of a friend. But, you know, he was like, hey, I just want to hang out with somebody tonight. Can I come hang out with whatever, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing? I was like, okay. So I took him to the Central House. And this guy was like, he was like cool in his own way, but I am not kidding, showed up in chainmail. Like, he was like a big Renfest nerd, and he showed up to the Central House in chainmail, just being himself.
Nice.
Didn't know anything about punk, didn't know anything about the music or the scene.
Excellent.
And he just showed up, and Ray walked right up to him, drunk as piss. And you know, Ray was probably about that big around and would just drink whiskey constantly.
Yeah.
He walked up to him, barely able to stand, and he said, did you fucking wear chainmail to my house? And my friend went, yeah. And he goes, that's the punkest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
I love Ray. I miss that dude.
Me too.
I used to have a chainmail belt that I wore with my punk rock outfits.
Nice.
And then I decided I was going to take it apart and make other chainmail stuff out of it, and it never ended up going back together. Mm-hmm. And I just had all these little rings.
Yeah. I had a pyramid studded belt, as every punk rocker did, and I also had a bullet belt. and it was really uncomfortable.
I had a pyramid studded belt that I stole from my brother.
Yeah. And I have one of your bondage belts at my in my mom's basement. One of
no shit.
Had. Yeah. It's still down
I don't
there,
think I ever had one of those. That must have been
I think it was
his...
Sean, your brother's. Yeah. It was red and black, that red and black one with the big bondage rings on it.
Oh, yeah. That was his.
Used to wear all the time. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
you
that's
guys
my
had...
mom's basement.
You guys had all the punk rock clothes. I was more of like a hoodie punk. Like I liked my hoodie and my t-shirts. And like I tried to wear a leather jacket and get a couple spiky things. And I was like, oh, this isn't comfortable. And then I just started wearing a hoodie all the time.
Oh, man. That
I did still spike my hair. I spiked my hair embarrassingly late in life. But like well into my 20s. I think I was still spiking it when we lived at the Boston apartments, probably. Right, I shaved it off at that point, maybe.
Nah, you. I think you had it shaved.
Okay, I'd already shaved by then.
Yeah,
okay.
That bullet belt was horribly uncomfortable. Mm. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I was like...
Well, and heavy, too.
Would it be silly if I went and got another bullet belt? Mostly joking. And she said no. And I said thank you. Yeah.
Just wear some chainmail and go over to Ray's house.
Right, there you go.
He's a doctor.
Yeah. He sure is.
That guy. That's fucking... That guy who used to live on a fifth of whiskey and cigarettes every night. That was his entire diet. I don't think I ever saw him actually eat any food. I am shocked that he was able to stay alive.
At the Flanders house, all they did was fry daddy tofu.
Oh, yeah.
And they just ate...
Tofu well, we had
from the fry daddy for every
at the
meal.
Central House 2, we had he would just deep fat. He'd get those Amy's burritos.
Oh, fuck.
And then just deep fry them, and he'd be like, it's healthy.
No, it's not.
Just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy, man.
It's vegan and organic, and right. I just deep fried it.
See, it's healthy.
Back on track.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a track?
It's just all random now.
It's an attempt. So are you guys done with your origin story?
Yeah, for now, but we're gonna reboot it in a few years.
Yeah.
What was your first punk rock show?
Jesus Lizard.
Oh, nice. That would have been 95 or 96, probably.
90. Yeah, it was actually 94. Yeah, I was 16 years old.
Okay.
And
where at?
That was at Panama Reds. We used to go to shows there when we were like 15, 16.
Yeah.
They didn't card us. We drank beer. It was kind of the golden era right before they like seriously cracked down on, you know, underage drinking.
Was Panama Reds downtown?
It was.
Or was it South Side?
It was the same place that eventually became Barleycorns.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember exactly where it was.
I had completely forgot about Panama Reds until you said it just now. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, so saw Jesus Lizard there twice. Saw the Wesley Willis fiasco there twice.
Yeah, nice.
Saw some killer shows there.
Did isn't that where Janitors Against the Apartheid played?
They did, but I did not go to that show.
Oh. I went to that show. I had never heard of them. I don't really even care for them. I just remember them because they had a song called Breakfast Pastry, and in that song they played various Star Wars music, mostly the Cantina
scene.
And everybody went fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. I want to say that... Voodoo Glow Skulls played that same night because I remember going back and forth. There were two shows that night. It was super weird.
You know what?
I'm pretty sure I went to the Voodoo Glow Skulls after that and was wasted. I was still in high school at that point. And there was this great big straight edge sharp from Andover. And he was at the Voodoo Glow Skulls, and I kept falling down, and he kept picking me up. And I thought it was really nice of a big, straight-edge skinhead to save me in the pit.
Nice. Yeah, us skinny kids did not fare well in the mosh pits, man.
No.
Just got
no, but I heard around and I had beat a lot up. Of friends. I had a lot of friends whose girlfriends were angry at me at ska shows for elbowing them in the face.
Oh, the out of control skank. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember people complaining to me about it when we were hanging out a lot. Like they're
me?
Like, yeah, no, they would complain to me about you. They'd be like, hey, get your boy under control. And I'm like, that's just controlling. What do you want me to do? I don't
just
know.
Just dancing.
Yeah, like, you see how tall he is? Just kind of get out of the way a little bit. That's what I do.
Yep. Just draw a line and draw a circle. And that's right. That's the no-fly zone.
Do you want to correct any of our misinformation from last time? I think you said you had some gaps you could fill.
Yeah, I'm always glad to fill in the gaps. And you guys left some gaping ones. Mm-hmm.
I knew we would. So
now I wish I would have taken notes and made a list.
So you didn't live at 2721.
I didn't live there.
Not officially.
There was some Kansas Street.
Marty made the correction of how we first met.
Uh-huh.
There was some additional information. Neckbone's carjacking experience.
Oh, yeah.
Which is horrible, and I hate that you all had to go through that, but the funny thing, in addition to the fact that, you know, you found it, the next day or later the same day?
It was the next day, yeah.
They didn't really steal anything of value. Mm-hmm. The funny thing that I remember is what they left in there.
Oh, what did they leave in there?
There was a bag of Starburst candy and a box of condoms.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that.
They were out to have a good time.
Party time.
All right. We're going to get laid, and to show how grateful we are, we're going to give the ladies some Starbursts. And ladies love Starbursts. I completely forgot about that. I forgot that they left that in there.
Yep.
So, I left out, I intentionally left out some Kansas Street memories, just because I wanted to rehash them with you. One of which was that first winter. I don't know how many times it happened, but it seemed like every night we would bundle up and walk to Quick Trip and go inside and get sleazy cheesies, which are microwave pizzas, and we would sit behind Quick Trip by the dumpster and eat cheese pizzas, sleazy cheesies, and talk for like an hour and freeze our asses off by the dumpster and then walk back to Kansas Street. And I don't know why that memory is so fond to me, and I don't know if it even happened as many times as my brain says it did, but it seemed
it happened a lot.
And was some of my favorite Kansas Street memories was going to Quick Trip and getting sleazy cheesies.
That was the Quick Trip on Douglas and Washington, right?
Yeah, Douglas and Washington.
That was a good mile walk.
You know, so that did happen a lot. And sometimes I just like try to remember why we did that. Why did we eat so much gas station food? Like,
you didn't have your kitchen was fucking disgusting.
Well, the kitchen was horrible, and after that one episode, we didn't have any dishes. but it's hilarious because the grocery store was the same distance walk in the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't have a microwave there.
Right.
The gas station had a microwave.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
And you couldn't cook in those Kansas Street kitchens. They were not made for preparing.
They
any
were small
type of food.
And they were disgusting.
Yeah. Thankfully, nobody hung out at my apartment because I could just walk upstairs and hang out at your guys' apartment.
Right.
So I actually did keep beer in my fridge. My fridge worked great. But the only thing that was in there was beer. And nothing. I think I had beer and like a bottle of mustard. Like, that's it.
Another thing. So I was thinking of one memory and it brought another one back, and it's that your toilet looked like a sunset.
Because we never cleaned it.
The most vibrant reds and oranges and funk in the toilet. And I don't know. I think
it was bad.
I think the girls came over and cleaned it one time.
Yeah, so somebody cleaned it at some point.
Maybe Amory and Sarah maybe did. I don't know. Maybe Andrea. But there was another point where we weren't hanging out in your apartment so much as we were hanging out front and on the stairs. And for whatever reason, I remember peeing on your stairs a lot. And I don't know why.
Like on the stairs inside or the stairs outside?
Yeah, inside. I don't know why I would do that. It's just something I remember. I mean, obviously, but I don't know why I wouldn't either go outside and do that or go into your apartment and do that. It's very strange.
It's very strange.
Who was the people that lived below you? Nacho?
Kid? Yeah, Nacho and Nepo and CJ.
Yeah,
Nepo and CJ. Which that actually reminds me of...
Manager, right?
Yeah, and okay. That actually reminds me of a slight correction. You told the story in the last episode about the story they told us when we moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
the story was not that somebody had killed themselves in our apartment. It was that somebody was murdered.
Oh, okay.
In our apartment. I knew apartment, it was something like that. So, minor discrepancy, but...
And was that the origin of the crazy dead lady?
That's why there was a crazy dead lady. That's why it was haunted as fuck.
Who was at the Blue Meanies show?
Who? I was, but I ended up getting so wasted that night, I don't really remember it.
Mm. Yeah, I think Nathan Gilson.
Did I go to a Blue Meanies show?
They played
familiar.
Twice. I went to both of them.
Yeah.
The latter one was when AM was back from Emporia. With gifts, and we went, and Nathan Gilson told me that every time I took a step, that's what made the Earth move. That it wasn't rotating because of gravity; it was rotating every time
yes.
I took a step.
Yeah.
So I felt like
walking,
I was
motherfucker.
Stuck in the mud the whole night. I'm not done with Kansas Street, I guess, because there was a time where we would go to. The spot. Would you like to describe what the spot was?
Big drainage ditch right through the center
shit.
Of town.
I forgot about the spot. Oh my god.
Yeah, with the elevated freeway and you could walk under it and you know,
I got
just
fucked up there a lot of times with both of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool cuz you could walk for quite a ways along this little narrow ledge and be you know, you'd have this roar of the highway around you, but otherwise you'd be pretty isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Oh, kind of a little, I don't know, weird oasis in the city.
It was a really surreal.
Weird
place.
Concrete oasis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'd strange. Go down there and walk, but more often we would just go down there and just sit and drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was one of our outdoor meeting spots, outdoor party spots.
We were really gutter punks because we were hanging out in the biggest gutter in Wichita.
Yeah. It's a gigantic gutter. we were the gutterest of punks.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we found a bunch of TVs one time and just we're just giddy and giggling about destroying them at the spot.
Yeah, that we found some old cathode ray tube televisions, and that was actually before flat screens even really were a thing.
Yeah, where did they even come
anyway?
From?
They were ancient. They were like old wood cabinet ones from the 70s. That
where did
we found
they
behind
find?
A, we found it behind a storage unit. Like it looked like somebody had cleaned out the storage unit and
Is that when Kale broke his foot on the TV?
Kale wasn't
was
around
that a different
yet.
Time? Okay.
That was his own TV that he broke his foot on.
Oh.
That dumbass.
Yeah, that tracks.
So yeah, we found these TVs pretty near our apartment and then carried them the two blocks. One of them, I remember, was large enough that it took two of us to carry it. Mm-hmm. And we just gently tipped them over the edge and watched them roll down the embankment and explode. It was awesome.
Oh shit, I just
very had, very entertaining.
I just had another memory of our destructive tendencies.
You guys seem to like to just kind of like lightly push something in the right direction and then just watch chaos ensue.
It's like
it's such a beautiful thing.
Goldberg device of chaos.
It's so satisfying.
So we were being hippies and playing hacky sack outside of Kansas Street in springtime, mm-hmm. and there was all this white fluff all over the ground.
Oh!
And we were playing in the fluff like it was like having fake snowball fights or something.
The cottonwood stuff,
fluff.
Yeah.
And I picked a handful of it up and lit it on fire and dropped it, not thinking that when it was on fire it would drop like a stone. I thought it would like flutter away in flames. No, it caused it to drop super fast, and then all the other fluff caught on fire.
And like a six inch layer of it on the ground, just all light, plenty of like just free
dead
oxygen
leaves.
Flow.
There were dead leaves just all over the ground, and we're like panicking.
Fire, like instantly surrounded by fire.
And this old woman, it's going towards, I think they were where Chandra used to live, those apartments.
Right,
and it
right.
went straight for that apartment building, and this woman comes out, and she's like, "Ooh!" And I was like, "Sorry,
sorry."
But luckily, like none of the leaves or anything caught on fire. But it was, I was really scared that I was gonna burn that fucking block down.
Mm-hmm. It was impressive. It was impressive, yeah. and very very sudden.
Yeah, it was not. It was unexpected arson.
Oh yeah, yeah. Other stories from that. That block, that street, similar to Neckbones, you know, constantly being a victim of crime in Wichita, mm-hmm. and I think probably later on in Kansas City, I remember he got stabbed.
And Lawrence to a lesser degree.
I was never really the victim of a, you know, direct violent crime like that. I was constantly getting arrested because of a various mistaken identities. Like, for a couple of years, it happened over and over. Several times on Kansas Street, where one of the times was straight up racial profiling. I was with our friend CJ, mm-hmm. who actually was a gang member, but I was walking with him, and the cops just screamed up on us and threw us to the ground and handcuffed us and questioned us for a while before realizing that it was somebody else they were after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember a time where you were going, like, you got picked up all the fucking time. And, like, there was one time, and at a show at Spectrum,
yeah.
I think. And you got fucking arrested
and got singled out by the fucking cops. Yeah.
They just see you. The cops see you, and they're just like, that guy.
That guy.
That fucking guy.
What's
he's up
the,
to something.
There's a Town West story you're supposed to tell.
Oh,
also.
Yeah, yeah. I
that was more my brother. I was
really?
There.
Okay.
I thought didn't you blow a kiss to the security guard, or was that your brother?
That's...
That was... okay, so it was me, my brother, Jason Dallas, and Tim. And we got in some trouble because they had this... We went to the mall with Chandra. She actually had legitimate business there. She went there to buy something, which is what most people do with the mall.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we had all been drinking, and we decided, like, I don't know why we tagged along, but we did. We all piled in the car and went to the malls, like, ooh, this will be fun. And while, you know, Chandra was doing her shopping, we were, you know, being loud, being punk rockers in the mall, obviously. And Jason started shit with a guy. They had these massage chairs set up with this kiosk. And he was like, I think, like, humping one of them and, you know, just being gross, being stupid. But when the proprietor of the massage chair stall asked us to leave, Jason started arguing with them, and they called security. We were on our way out, and the security guard approached us, and Tim started shit with the security guard, and Jason, you know, went right along with him. This is the way I remember it. It is probably flawed. I kind of hightailed it out of there, and right at that time, the actual police were pulling up, and they went right for my brother. They arrested him first. They arrested Jason. They arrested Tim, and I jumped in the car, and Chandra and I drove off. So I miraculously got away that time. I was drunk. I was about to go. I was going to go stand up for my brother because he didn't do shit.
Right.
You know, he was drunk and being goofy, but we weren't starting fights with security guards. It was the other guys. And I was going to go stand up for my brother. And Sean was like, no, get in the car.
Yeah.
Right. And so thank you, Chandra, for helping me not get arrested that time.
Now that I think about it, now that I think back on it, Jason liked to hump a lot of random things that he would just see. I completely forgot about that aspect of that guy. He would just go around just kind of like humping things and laughing weird.
So
kind of very humpy guy.
Speaking of him. And odd behavior. So there's a cultural thing in punk rock where if you fall asleep with your boots on, you get what's called elfed, which is some sort of prank gets done to you. And it was Jason and your brother often passed out with their boots on before anybody else. And at Kansas Street, we like to make sculptures out of them. On top of them. I remember Sean woke up and like a cymbal fell on his head and he was super fucking pissed.
Very mad.
I think you guys got into a fisticuff over that one. Probably.
We fought a lot in those days, but that actually reminds me of one of the only things I liked about that apartment. It was a horrible, horrible, very grim place, but boy, did we make it our own. There was so much found art and just weird. Sure. It was a very artsy space, like lots of weird found art
stuff.
And that's why we had the raw materials to make these beautiful sculptures out of unconscious humans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
when Jason left town, so he left with a bunch of squatters. So one of the things that Wichita didn't have much of a scene, really. Like, we did our best, and we had a lot of fun, but there was not a big draw for...
We were the scene.
Right.
It was there just wasn't a our big small draw group for, of people. Yeah.
Right. There wasn't a big draw for people to come through, but every now and again, we would get travelers come through, and I would inevitably invite them over to Kansas Street, even though I didn't pay rent there, and invited them in, and much to the chagrin of... You and your brother probably, but one of those groups of people that came over, Jason left town with. They hopped a fucking train and split, and they went up to Lawrence, and he passed out with his boots on somebody's couch up there. It was pre-Pirate House days. I don't remember whose house it was. I know Brandon was there. BJ may have been there as well.
Mm-hmm. Was the Simpsons house the thing at that point?
No, this is okay. I think all those people were still in fucking high school. So this is way before them. So he passed out on the couch with his boots on, and they sewed him to the couch. I don't know if either of you remember that story.
That's awesome.
But they punk rockers love to sew, and they sewed him to the couch cushions.
Yes,
that's good. Hilarious. That's probably my favorite elfing story.
That's great.
I don't think I ever had that done to me.
We were smart and took our fucking boots off. Yeah, and we stayed up later than everybody else.
Or were like the last ones drinking? Jesus.
Yeah, I think I was always either one of the last ones to pass out, or the first thing I would do is remove my boots or shoes as soon as I walked in somewhere. I'd be like, he's coming off. I'm going to set them over here, and we're good. Especially at that time, like, the only reason to go, if you were there and you were partying, the only reason to go outside would have been to smoke, but so many of those houses, people just smoked inside them anyway. And then Jason lived across the street, and of course they were smoking in his place, too.
Yeah, his place and was a play. So foul. He had that cat for a while, and he just let that cat, like, piss and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And he had, there was, like, a hole in his bathroom wall or something.
I just remember the only way to get to the bathroom was through his bedroom.
Yeah, he had to go through his bedroom.
Mm-hmm. His disgusting-ass bedroom just to get to the bathroom. I'd go over there to play PlayStation. He had a PlayStation, so I was over there.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even have a TV at our place.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Record player, CD player, tape player.
And then AM would sleep over at Jason's just on the couch all the time because he would just stay up playing PlayStation. Right. Parappa the Rappa, 24/7.
We spent a lot of
time. I haven't thought about that in ages either.
I think most of the furnishings at Kansas Street came from the yard store. We went there a lot to get bric-a-brac and shelves and all sorts of stuff. I love the yard.
Yep. We got that super-duper industrial thread for sewing our punk rock patches onto our jackets and pants.
Pants and jackets.
I think Kansas Street was, for me at least, that was the first time I started dumpster diving.
For the listeners, I just reached over to my shelf where I still have one of the industrial rolls of thread. I don't use it for punk rock reasons anymore. I use it for actual mending.
Oh. I thought of a new fake musician name. We used to do this often, but the other day I called one of my kids a rascal, and then I called her a rapscallion. And then I was like, I wonder if there's a band called Rapscallion. And then I wondered if there was a hip-hop artist who dressed like an onion named Rapscallion.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, man, you just came up with another movie idea. There we go. That's movie number 4.
Nice.
Of scripts we have to write.
The Rapscallion?
So, yeah. We're coming up with movie ideas. Sweet. I came up with 3... I think spectacular movie ideas the other day.
It could be like an edgy Veggie Tales.
I mean, the first one I wrote is definitely to educate. So the movie is it's about the main character. Her name is Sarah Topps, and she gets cloned twice.
Twice.
Oh.
So there's 3 Sarah of Topps. Them.
Yes, I've seen where this
by
is
the,
going.
By the evil Dr. Monoclonius. And by the end of the movie, to defeat Monoclonius. Oh, also, she's a paleontologist. That's her job. By the end of the movie, she discovers she has the secret power that when she combines with the other two, she can actually turn into an actual Triceratops. And that's how she defeats Monoclonius. Because if she doesn't turn into a Triceratops, then what's the point of the fucking movie?
We need to add some sort of thing like Captain Planet. They each had a ring. They put their rings together and it made Captain Planet. So they've got to have something to put together to become Triceratops.
Triceratops. That's right.
Yeah.
And the name of the movie is Triceratops.
Uh-huh.
Because there's 3 of them. What? Yeah, see? See what I did there?
What, wait. Hear me out. What if it's
But she's got to try to do it. So try. Calm down. Triceratops.
Triceratops. Yeah.
Yeah.
She does it to defeat the evil Dr. Monoclonius.
Right. Well, she's got to try to do it.
Yeah, she's going to try. That motherfucker's only got 1 horn. She's got 3. What are you going to do? Christ.
So, while we're talking about that, I guess, do you remember about the kids that got taken away? This is before we moved to Kansas City. So this is like end of our time here. Some kids got taken away by DCF from a family. The social workers couldn't understand these kids. There were 2 of them. They couldn't understand the language they were speaking. And it turns out that the parents only taught them to speak Klingon.
Klingon. I remember that story.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And that inspired me at the time to start a black metal band. a black metal band called Worf from Star Trek, you know, the Klingon. And so we were going to start a black metal band called Worf and only sing in Klingon. And all of the songs were going to be about Burt Reynolds and how much of an asshole he was to like Lonnie Anderson.
Well, that's a great, I mean, that's as good of a reason as I can think of to learn Klingon.
Right.
I mean, because you need a pretty healthy vocabulary to
discuss Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson.
Reynolds in that, you know.
Well, I'm sure now you can just dump everything into a English to Klingon translator.
Sure. That's not as fun.
Oh, yeah.
But this is, I think Klingon 99. Actually is in Google Translate at this point.
Probably. If it's not, it should be. Are there?
This is the one that spends some time getting all the pronunciation right and everything. So,
is there any other stories that you want to tell or anything else you want to talk about?
So many stories, but
you could always come back if you think of some later.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to come back another time. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
You can even do one of our punk rock movie reviews with us when we start doing those.
Ooh.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another good movie idea would just be all these old times, all these old shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, looking at you guys on the Google Meet here with the grainy video, we could do interview segments with grainy video, like grainy webcam video. It would be pretty depressing. People would love it.
I'm pretty sure that by law, Ian MacKay has to show up with his beanie on and say something about Kansas Street.
Oh,
I don't know if anybody knows how to get a hold of Ian MacKay, but I think it's a requirement if you make a punk rock documentary that he has to show up in a red
beanie.
He
does,
and talk about something.
Well, yeah, mentioning him reminds me of one of my favorite punk rock shows that I remember. Fugazi in a like basically abandoned warehouse in Kansas City.
At Altorion? Yep. I do remember
that. Was that Altorion?
Yeah, and I was wearing...
I remembered it being like not a legitimate venue, like
yeah, it was.
Huh. Okay.
I mean it didn't look like it, but it was.
None of the Kansas City venues look like they're... all of them look like you just wandered into a warehouse and a band started playing.
Yeah. No, they had a...
But
there was like a studio there, and there was band practice spaces there, and all sorts of stuff. I think Skinheads ran it.
Well, I remember really enjoying that show, and
I think I was wearing some reason Justin's cowboy boot, cowboy hat.
Yeah, and for some reason, I didn't drink at that show, so I remember it really well.
See, I wore Justin's cowboy boot, cowboy hat. Those were hat nights, and when I wore the hat for hat night, I made it a point to black out. Like it was my goal to get blacked out, so I don't really remember it very well. I mean, I remember going.
Maybe that's why I was sober. Maybe I was transporting you.
Maybe I don't
know. Was I designated driver?
I didn't have a car back then, so no, it wasn't me.
Neither did I.
Did we do designated
driver? Well, I actually didn't have a driver's license back then. I drove people's cars when they let me, but I never had a license.
I was definitely one of those people who was like, oh, I drive better when I'm drunk anyway because I'm more careful. Like,
I'm paying more attention.
And I believed it. Even when I was sober, I believed it. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good driver when I'm drunk. That's probably a good idea. Like,
I mean, you were decent.
I mean, we're still here, so
we didn't die. You didn't get a DUI.
Oh boy!
So many nights driving between Kansas City and Lawrence, just hammered. It's probably better that my car couldn't get up to highway speed, so we had to take back roads.
That is probably
what saved us, is we were not going 80 miles an hour on I-70.
Yeah,
instead, might have saved your life.
We were going barely hitting 50 miles an hour on
K-10.
On Highway 40. Remember Highway 40?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it goes through Tonganoxie.
Sweet. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. It's good to see you on a tiny screen. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I haven't seen either of you in way too long.
It's been, I think, 08. I flew from Chicago to Denver. We went to go see bands play.
Oh,
yeah. We saw bands.
That was Denver Fest.
We drove up.
Yeah.
That was Denver Fest. That was...
There's a picture of us together on a mountain. That was a miserable
trip. Many, many
years ago. I did not have a good time.
I had a great time. I had a spectacular time.
Except for, I remember...
That was
07.
It was not 08, because I was still...
You were...
Fucking selling cars. I just had...
Oh, yeah.
Just had a kid. So it was a rough trip.
You, Neckbone, you were mad as hell at me, like on the way, on the drive down Mount Evans, because you were in the passenger seat.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were like, slow down, because it's like just that exposed drop off.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, it's what? Terrifying. We're going like 20 miles an hour.
I don't care for that. I miss, so.
It's much easier to drive those than it is to be a passenger on those roads.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, I've definitely been freaked out by other drivers on mountain roads. So
the only time I lived like in mountain country was in Washington. I mean, Virginia has mountains too, but I lived on the shore, so it's the other side of the state. But I actually lived like in the mountains in Washington, and I love them from when you're at the bottom, looking at them.
Oh, from majestic as fuck.
From sea level? Standing at sea level and looking at awesome mountains is great. That's the one thing I miss about living in that shitty rural county I lived in. There was a bunch of rednecks rolling coal and fucking Trump flags flying all over the place. But fuck, the mountains were gorgeous. And I do actually miss that. I don't miss going into the tops of the mountains. Stay at the bottom. I can appreciate them from afar.
Well, I do like all sorts of mountain adventures, like on foot, on bicycle, like all that mountainy stuff.
I'll keep my camping to Wisconsin. There's a nice big lake, but not a whole lot of mountains. It's perfect.
There you go.
Yeah. Lots of forests, trees, no mountains.
Yeah, that's one thing I miss. We don't have a lot of deciduous forest here.
Crucifix are from Wisconsin.
Madison, right?
Yeah,
Madison's a rad town. That's a rad fucking town. I like Madison.
Well, Ron Burt, thanks for coming in and filling our gaps.
Yes,
anytime, and I'm sure there will be many more gaping holes to fill.
So many gaps in the future. We'll have you back to fill more gaps. You seem to have a great time filling gaps.
I do. I'll get in there. I'll expand and just really take up space.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're looking for.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been fun reminiscing, and yeah, love you guys. I miss you.
Too,
so. Yeah, miss you too.
Hopefully we can see each other in person someday.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
Again.
All right, everybody, that's it for us. I got to take a coffee and piss, and we'll fill more gaps later.
I got to piss in some coffee. And
You're going to
fill some gaps.
Some coffee and fill some gaps, and you're going to piss coffee?
In gaps.
I'm going to piss in your coffee.